Caleb or one of the guys grab a water for me this morning? There is a there's some yeah, Isaiah, thank you. Excuse me. Called concrete dust, so I'm cleaning it out. Sorry about that. Well, this morning, Mr. Lee is one of the first to see the sermon notes because he's typing in information for the CDs that they print up back there. And he saw the title of the sermon. He says, "You're getting a little personal, aren't you?" As you can see, the title says, "Are you having an affair?" Well, I just said to him, "Well, if not me, who? You know, who can ask you those kinds of questions?" But the point of this is, you know, you will see that in some regards, it's not typical of what you would think when, you know, someone would be asking you, "Are you having an affair?" But you'll see that it could have some significance along that line too. Last week, I shared a message with you about minding your own business. And typically, when you hear someone say, "Mind your own business," there are certain thoughts that come along with that. You think of a specific thing that is meant by that phrase, but sometimes things mean more than one thing. And I'm going to take you scripturally here this morning with this question regarding you having an affair. And we can start, and please be certain that this will be okay for the children's ears, so you don't have to worry about them with them in the service here this morning too. But turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And we are going to look at the first part of my message, which I have subtitled Entangled, 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Got a little bit of something going on with the sound here, Ted. I see you're making adjustments, but it sounded weird. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules." I guess I went one step further than I intended to go there. This passage, first of all, it starts speaking about enduring suffering as a good soldier of Jesus. When we use the word soldier, there's some things that are implied as a result of that. That means there's either conflict or there's occupation. You know, conflict meaning, you know, hand-to-hand combat. There's kind of the conflict going on between military people. But the other can be occupation, where there is the sense of keeping peace. You know, there is hostile territory, but we're keeping peace in that hostility. And so there is the need for occupation. There is the need for the military presence there for peace. But also, with this implying that there is conflict or occupation, I could take you to a number of scriptures. I'll just put these out for reference sake. We're not going to go to there, but 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4 speaks about that we are flesh and blood, but we don't fight fleshly battles. Our battles are of the Spirit. And Ephesians chapter 6, 12 says the same when it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers." So we know scripturally there is conflict that is happening in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual dimension. And this tells us in this passage of Scripture to endure suffering as a good soldier of Jesus. So we're to be involved in this conflict as scripturally described as soldiers in this conflict. And then it goes on to say that soldiers don't get tied up. And I'm using the word entangled. New American Standard uses that word entangled. Entangled in the affairs of civilian life. And here's where I get that word affair. So when I'm asking if you are having an affair, what it's talking about is, are you entangled by the affairs of this civilian life? Entangled would be as being caught in a vine. And if you can think of someone walking through a field and there's vines in that field. I don't know if you've ever been like in a soybean field, and all of a sudden you come across morning glory, which is a vining kind of thing, and you can just get all wrapped up in that kind of thing because it doesn't come loose very easy. So picture that when we're talking about the word entangled. Entangled as in caught in a vine. And the word affair is really, it comes from the Greek word pragmatia, which is where we get our English word pragmatic. So what it's talking about is the normal daily regimen. Soldiers don't get tied up or don't get tangled up in the normal daily regimen. And there's a reason for that, as it says here, entangled in the everyday affairs of life at the neglect of your active spiritual service. Soldiers don't want to be entangled in civilian affairs so they can be ready for active service. And the application to us is not being entangled in the everyday affairs of life so that we can be active in spiritual service for the Lord and active in spiritual conflict against the enemy. So we don't want to be entangled. Otherwise, we are subject to the enemy's attack. If we're negligent regarding our spiritual service or negligent regarding our spiritual warfare, we can be subject to the enemy's attack. Now, what are the things that entangle us then when it's talking about entangled in the civilian affairs or the everyday affairs of life? One of those entanglements is worries. We see that in Scripture, worries of the world. In fact, the entangling is very evident here in Mark 4, 18 and 19, where it says, "And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are ones who have heard the word, and the worries of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." You know, that's the thorny soil. The thorns come and they choke out the seed or the plants of God's word, the plants that are desiring to bear fruit, that God is desiring to bear his fruit in our life. Those things are choked out by worries of the world. Or it goes on to say the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, which that desire for other things segues into the next thing that can entangle us, and that is the love of the world. 1 John chapter 2, 5 through 17. Says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father but is from the world. And the world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God abides forever." You know, take note of those three areas in which we can struggle with a love for the world. It is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Now, I want you to see a connection here with what happened in, as described in this next passage of Scripture, where I'm talking about pure and undivided devotion. Note that word undivided in this passage. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent." Now, first of all, we're talking about, you know, Paul is concerned here about an undivided devotion. And it makes a connection with Eve coming into that, being corrupted by, being deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. Now, remember how the love of the world, it says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. This is exactly the kind of temptation that the serpent was doing with Eve and pulled her away from her pure and undivided devotion. We see the lust of the flesh as it's described in Genesis chapter 3 when she sees the fruit and says that the tree was good for food. There is the desire of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. The tree was good for food. These are the areas where she took note. And then the lust of the eyes, it says, and that the fruit was a delight to the eyes. And then the boastful pride of life. It was desirable to make one wise. The serpent said, "You will be as God. You will know good and evil." And so there was that boastful pride of life, the desire to make one wise. She was being tempted or corrupted in this way away from her pure and undivided devotion to the Lord God and to his words by these temptations, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. So what we see in contrast is the undivided devotion contrasted by entangled in the affairs of life. These things that draw us away. First of all, worries of the world, and secondly, lust, love of the world, or lusts after the things of the world. These things will divide our devotion. divide our devotion as a soldier that is entangled with the affairs of life, the worries of the world or the desires of the world, the lusts of the world. Entangled causes us to be divided. If we're entangled, we end up being divided. And again, Paul is saying here, I'm concerned that you will be divided in your devotion, your pure and undivided devotion. Now, James 4 speaks about love of the world as well, and it calls us, you adulterers. So again, you know, I can ask the question, are you having an affair? You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. So is our love completely undivided? Is our devotion completely undivided, pure and undivided devotion? Or are we being entangled by the affairs of life, the worries of the world, the lusts of the world, the love of the world? Well, what is a soldier's motivation? When in 2 Timothy 4, it talked about if entangled, they cannot please the one who enlisted them. Okay, so the soldier's motivation really is to please the commander-in-chief. And we know who that is Jesus. The commander-in-chief is Jesus because it says that we are soldiers, soldiers of Jesus. So, you know, I want to ask this question. Does the Lord have pleasure in the way you deal with the spiritual dimension of your life? You know, are you having an affair? When it comes to the spiritual aspect of your life, is the Lord pleased with your devotion to Him? Or is He jealous for your devotion to the ways of the world, either the worries of the world or the love of the world? Is the Lord pleased with your spiritual warfare, your involvement in spiritual warfare? Or are you so entangled that you're just disregarding completely the reality of the spiritual warfare that goes on in our lives? You know, we can ignore the spiritual warfare, but that doesn't mean it goes away. That just means that we're much more subject to the enemy, to his attacks. If we ignore the reality of spiritual warfare, it just gives the devil an advantage. So let's not be giving him an advantage. Instead, let's have it our motivation to please our commander-in-chief by being ready to be involved in spiritual warfare, ready to be a soldier, a good soldier, not entangled in the affairs of life. Here's a description or an example. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about David and we talked about Uriah and how Uriah was a soldier in David's army, and he was very devoted to his commander-in-chief. In fact, in this passage of scripture of 2 Samuel 11, verses 10 and 11, it says, when David heard that Uriah had not gone home, he summoned him and asked him, what's the matter? Why didn't you go home last night after being away for so long? Uriah replied, the ark and the armies of Israel and Judah are living in tents, and Joab and my master's men are camping in the tents, are camping in the open fields. How could I go home and wine and dine and sleep with my wife? I swear that I would never do such a thing. So here is a soldier in active service. David had actually brought him back to attempt to cover up his indiscretion, his sin. But Uriah is so devoted as a soldier that he won't even go home to enjoy a meal and dine and wine with his wife and sleep with her. He won't even do that because he is so devoted to his master's service. And so that evening, instead, he sleeps with the king's palace guard. That's how devoted he is. Now, again, in contrast to that, we recognize David was a soldier that was entangled with civil affairs. In fact, in the beginning of that passage of scripture, it speaks about it was the time of the season where the kings go to war. But David did not. It says, after resting in the afternoon, in other words, he was just kind of being lazy around Jerusalem. He was just kind of hanging out. But after resting in the afternoon, he gets up and he sees something. He sees Bathsheba, who's Uriah's wife, and he has her come to him, and David ends up in an affair because he is not being a good soldier. He is instead entangled with civilian affairs, And he ends up in an affair, and that's what he's attempting to cover up by having Uriah go home to be with his wife. But instead, he says, no, I'm going to stay with the king's palace guard. If I'm not out in the battle with Joab and, you know, my commander-in-chief out there, and if I'm not in the battle with my fellow soldiers, he says, I'm going to at least stay with the king's palace guard here. He says, I can't do that. I can't go home. So again, the question is, are you pleasing the one who enlisted you? First of all, I want to ask, are you trained? And are you equipped? You know, these are the things that the Lord prepares us for battle. He equips us for battle. Jesus said, you know, in my name you'll cast out evil spirits. He says, take up the full armor of God. We'll look at that a little bit more when we're looking at the provision of the soldier. But so are you trained and are you equipped and are you in active service? And do you have undivided devotion? Or are worries pulling you away and entangling you? Or is the love of the world pulling you away and entangling you? I mean, these are questions, you know, again, I bring it back to, are you having an affair? And if you thought I was coming to you, you know, from a sexual perspective and saying, are you having an affair? You would, what are you asking me? You know, but what about this kind of an affair that we can be having in an adulterous kind of thing against the Lord, because we're so wrapped up in our physical lives, our civilian affairs, that we don't have that undivided devotion to the Lord. We're actually having an affair with the things of the world or the worries of the world. We're so entangled that we're not really fully devoted to Him, and we're not ready for the spiritual conflict that happens as a result of living in this world and living in the spiritual dimension where there still is an evil one who we wrestle against. Well, let's talk about provision of the soldier, because, you know, this is a good thing for us to be aware of. God doesn't leave us high and dry. He makes sure that we are well cared for. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, when he's asking us to be in his service, when he is asking us to serve him as a good soldier, you know, he's not going to cause us to be without as a result of us doing that. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 7. It says, what soldier has to pay his own expenses? What farmer plants a vineyard and doesn't have the right to eat some of its fruit? What shepherd cares for a flock of sheep and isn't allowed to drink some of the milk? Again, what soldier has to pay his own expenses? You know, the reason why soldiers are not having to pay their own expenses is because it helps to keep them from being entangled. You know, we had an interesting conversation with Zach Gronseth one of the times, most recent times that he was back, and he was hanging out at our house with a bunch of the kids and the crew, and he said, you know, he says he was figuring what he got paid per hour, really, as being in the military service. He says, you know, it's just so little. You get paid so little per hour, and you know, and I understand that, and I'm not, you know, against military being paid well or anything like that. However, we did have a conversation with him about the things that were being supplied to him as a soldier. You don't pay rent, do you, for where you're living? You don't pay for the food that you're eating, do you? You know, there's all these civilian things that are taken care of. They're absolutely taken care of so that you can be ready to serve your commander-in-chief. And it's good. That's the way it's supposed to be. But again, let's make the application to us in the physical realm, or in the spiritual realm that we are serving the Lord, is that the Lord provides for us, and He supplies in the civilian area. He supplies in the physical area so that we don't have to concern ourselves with that. What soldier has to pay his own expenses? Soldiers have weapons of warfare. They don't pay for their weapons. That's good. Those weapons are issued. If the soldiers had to save up their money to buy the weapons, they'd probably all have just small guns. They wouldn't have the, you know, the big militia things, you know, the bombs and that kind of thing. They don't pay for their weapons. They're issued to them, and that's a good thing. And here's another good thing. They don't pay for their ammo. Their ammunition is supplied, and that's a good thing. The last thing we want our soldiers doing is having to be careful about how much ammunition they use. You know, when you're in warfare against the enemy, you don't want to have to be thinking about, maybe I shouldn't shoot twice. Maybe I should only shoot once. You know, Charlie kind of sets an example with that. You know, he loads his own shells, so, and he usually gets materials at a good rate. So he's always generous. If you go shooting clay pigeons with Charlie, he's generous with his ammunition. Now, that can be good and that can be bad. If you have I think for skeet shooting or clay pigeon shooting, a double-barrel shotgun is good enough. You know, boom, boom. If you miss it the first time, you have one more chance. By that time, it's fallen so much that, you know, you're not going to get it. But if you've got one of those pump shotguns, you know, five shell, is that five? Five or six? Three? Five. Charlie said, and you're going after one clay pigeon, boom, 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 boom. You know, there's too many there. You're going to be wasting the ammunition. Got it! Yeah! Chase that thing down the field and finally shoot it when it's laying on the ground. That can be the result of too many shells in your gun and someone who's too generous with the ammunition. But when it comes to our soldiers in the field, you know, we don't want them concerned about their ammunition. Their ammunition is supplied to them. They don't pay for their ammunition. What soldier serves at his own expense? And so it is with us and the spiritual dimension. We are spiritual and physical dimension. If we are serving the Lord, He is not requiring us to do it at our own expense. He wants us to be able to focus on the spiritual conflict and being a good soldier for Him, serving in His army, rather than concerning ourselves with the civilian affairs of life. Okay? So we can please the one who has called us into service. And so therefore, He supplies what we need. He supplies the ammunition. He supplies the armament that we receive. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, it says that we have divinely powerful weapons for the pulling down of strongholds. Ephesians 6:13 speaks about the full armor of God. So if we want to talk the spiritual dimension, God supplies what we need to be in conflict against the enemy. We're not doing it on our own. We're not doing it because we can intellectually strategize and outsmart the devil. That's not what God has called us to do. He's given us the name of Jesus. He's given us the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. He has given us divinely powerful weapons to do battle against the enemy. They are issued to us. They are not something that we have earned or that we have paid for. Jesus paid for it with His blood so that His name would be above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, demons would have to leave. Okay, so these weapons have been issued to us. They're powerful weapons. We don't serve at our own expense. Soldiers do not go to war at their own expense. Now, I believe that soldiers deserve blessing. You know, and I'm glad that our soldiers are not required to pay rent where they're living or buy their food or pay for their ammunition or that kind of thing. That would just be absolutely wrong. And the commanding officer is the one that sees to it that your needs are met. And so it is with us. Our commander-in-chief, our commanding officer, the Lord Jesus, sees to it that our needs are met. Again, not only in spiritual warfare, but also in the physical dimension. And that's why we don't have to worry about, we don't have to get entangled in the affairs of life. I'll have you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and 24 through 33. And this is the final passage that we're going to look at today. Matthew chapter 6. This is one that we come up on frequently because of its message to us and because of the necessity for us to be reminded of these things so that we're walking in faith instead of walking entangled by worries or walking entangled by the desires of this world, the things that choke out the Word of God. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Okay, so right off the bat here, it talks about being devoted to one master. Back to the passage of Scripture where Paul says, I'm concerned that like Eve, you've lost your pure and undivided devotion and you've been corrupted by the enemy. Okay, so we can be devoted only to one master. Let's have an undivided devotion to the Lord. Okay, it goes on here, verse 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Okay, we're not going to be concerned about the civilian affairs. Not to worry about everyday life. Those civilian affairs. We're not going to be in an affair. We're not going to be having an affair with worries of the world. Not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. See, your commander-in-chief is going to make sure that you have your army fatigues. Commander-in-chief is going to make sure that you have food in the cafeteria. Okay? That's going to be supplied. For is not life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't worry or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So again, a couple of points here. These things, concerns over the civilian affairs of life, totally dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. They are entangled in an affair. And what this passage of Scripture speaking about being good soldiers, not entangled in the affairs of civilian life, the Lord is saying to us, don't let your thoughts be consumed like unbelievers. You've been commissioned into my army, says the Lord, and so therefore you don't have to concern yourself with civilian affairs. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. These natural affairs of life, the pragmatia, the pragmatic affairs of life, you don't have to concern yourself with these things. Don't let them dominate your thoughts. You're wasting your time, you're wasting your effort, you're wasting your concerns on these things if you're worried about these things. It says, your heavenly Father knows you need these things. Okay, so commander-in-chief is going to, your commanding officer is going to make sure that you have the supply that you need so that you can stay in service for him. Not being consumed, not being entangled, not being worried with the things of the world. Okay, so then verse 33, then, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek first the kingdom. He will give you everything you need. So why is there any reason for us to be concerned in this life? If the Lord's promise is to supply what we need, if the Lord's call is for us to serve him, if he's given us the equipment necessary, if he has entrusted us with weapons, divinely powerful weapons, if he gives us the ammunition that we need and all the supply that we need to continually live without concern or worry, without dividing our devotion between him and the things of this world, why would we do that? Why would we be in an affair with the things of this world? We have to ask ourselves that question. Are you in an affair? Or are you living with pure and undivided devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord, that comes as a question for each one of us and requires evaluation, Lord, for us to look at our own lives, to look at how we are living our lives and what consumes our thoughts. Are we entangled? Are we worried? Do we have a love affair with the things of this world? Lord, are we being drawn away by the enemy? But the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life, Lord, the love of the world? Or are we complete in our devotion to you? Are we trying to devote ourselves to both God and money? We must answer these questions, Lord, as we stand before you, as you have challenged us with this message today. I pray that we are not having an affair, Lord. We are not entangled with the affairs of life, but instead we are living with a pure devotion to you, ready to be in service for you, Lord, in every single day, in every single instance, in every single opportunity that you open up for us to occupy or to be in spiritual conflict. Lord, may we be good soldiers, ready to please our commander-in-chief. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.